And let's hold them up and let's say the words up on the screen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, once again, Lord, we thank you that your Word has the power to change our life. And Lord, I want to thank you in advance for the change, the good change that is brought about in our lives because of the word that we hear today. I thank you for the message that you've placed in my heart. I also thank you for helping me to deliver it in such a way that it meets every need present here today. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in the midst of a series entitled Peace is Priceless. And you know, in this holiday season, as we celebrate the Prince of Peace, God coming into the world as a babe, a savior, let's make sure that we also understand the value of peace. Peace is priceless. You know, today I want to continue this series with a message entitled, Be a Peacemaker. I mean, you know, Jesus brought peace into the world. When you come into a relationship with God, he brings peace into your world. But how many of you know sometimes you got to keep the peace? Yeah. Sometimes instead of being a peacemaker, we might be making some other, we might be making a disturbance instead of making peace. And so we want to make sure that we value peace. The peace of God is priceless. But the Bible also teaches us that we need to be peacemakers. And so let's get into this message today. But let's begin by going back again to our text scripture that's found in the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Here's the text. It says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times, and in every situation, the Lord be with you all." It's a marvelous truth that Paul is teaching us here. And here's what Paul is saying. Paul is teaching us that each one of us can experience peace at all times and in every situation. You know, it might be normal for you to ask, how's that possible? How is that possible? That in every situation, in all circumstances, that I could be at peace. Or maybe we might even ask the question, is that really possible for me with my circumstance, with my issues, with what I'm facing today? Is peace possible because of the mistakes I've made? Listen, the whole season of Christmas, the message of Christmas boldly declares peace is possible. That's the message of Christmas. And I want you to hear me today. Peace is possible for you. In your situation, with your mistakes, with your past, or what other people have done, what you really had nothing to do with, but things have gotten broken, things have happened in life, and yet God promises that through the person of Christ, peace is possible. Wow. Now we learn this, that even though peace is possible through faith in Jesus. It doesn't just happen. We've got to put faith in the Savior. Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." You see, our peace, your peace in that situation, in marriage, in finances, in life, just going through life, your peace is not founded on you. You're not the source of the peace. There's only one source of peace, and his name is Jesus. He is the Lord of peace. And the Bible teaches us that as we put our faith in what he has done, we will have peace. Now, peace begins when we come into a relationship with God. Listen, without God, there is no peace. Not this priceless kind of peace. But you see, Jesus came to reconcile us to God, to bring us back into relationship with God. And when we come back into relationship with God, this Savior who was born to die, he died for our sins, and he brings us into this relationship. And that relationship brings us peace. We have peace with God. And because we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God. We could say this, the more we build our faith in what Jesus has done, the more peace we will experience. In fact, that's what makes peace possible at all times and in every situation. It is peace in what Jesus has done. Now, let me define this word peace for you. This biblical peace is defined as a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Come on, anybody with me this morning as far as knowing what it's like to have peace within? There could be turmoil on the outside. Our world is troubled, but in spite of the troubled world, we have peace within, a peace that comes from what Jesus has done for us. We're forgiven. We've been made righteous in Christ. We have a relationship with God. We have peace within. And the goal is for you to be at peace. Now, Webster's 1828 dictionary also defines peace this way. Peace is a freedom from internal commotion, agitation. It's quietness of mind, harmony, reconciliation. Come on, you know what it's like when you're in a relationship and that relationship is broken or there's strife, something has gotten in between you and another person. There's no harmony. And when there's no harmony, there's no peace. If you're going to be with that person during the holidays, it's strained. Do you know that you can be at peace? You can be undisturbed on the inside. They may be disturbed being in your presence. There may be some disturbing things that they've done or that has happened. But you can be at peace. Peace within. You can be reconciled to people because of peace. Peace is possible. I know sometimes during the holidays, it seems like our highs are higher, but then also our lows are lower. Yeah. And even in those low moments, we're missing someone, where the brokenness is magnified by the season, we can still find peace in the Prince of Peace. Now let's talk, though, about being a peacemaker, because I want to be honest with you this morning, in that while we can be in relationship with God through Jesus and we can have peace with God, there's some things that we're going to have to do to experience the peace of God. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be peacemakers. In fact, let me begin by taking you to a statement that Jesus made. Actually, this is one of his first sermons, and you probably are familiar with them. They're called the Beatitudes. Well, here's one of them. This is Jesus speaking, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Wow. That word blessed there, when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, that word blessed is defined as supremely well off, fortunate, prosperous. How would you like for somebody to say about you, wow, that person is supremely well off. They're fortunate. Boy, they're so far. They're prosperous. Well, Jesus tells us that peacemakers, people who make peace, they are blessed. They have power to prosper in life. Now listen, don't kid yourself. You are going to need power power to prosper, to do well in life. Life throws a lot of curveballs. Life has pain. Life has trouble. Come on, we all have issues that we have to deal with. And just about the time we think we're over that issue, then the Lord points out something else. Or we see something else in our life that we need to deal with. We need peace. Listen, in a season of peace where we're celebrating Christmas and the Savior that brought peace into the world, we need to be determined to become a peacemaker. I love the way the New Living translate this same passage, Matthew 5:9, the Beatitude. Here it's put this way: God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. This particular translation kind of gives us a little insight that if you want peace, you're going to have to work for it. Now, you know some people, man, you have to work to stay at peace with them. It's work, but it's worth it. Jesus said, blessed are those who are peacemakers. Now, let's define this word peacemaker. One definition of this word peacemaker is simply this: guardian of peace, or to be peaceable. Guardian of peace. In the holidays and all throughout life, you are going to have to guard your peace. A part of becoming a peacemaker is to guard the peace that you have inside. Don't lose your peace. Guard it. Come on. And we all know this. One of the ways we guard our peace is we guard our mouths. I mean, no, you can lose your peace real quick with just a few words. You can stir things up. Be a peacemaker, a guardian of peace. It's peaceable. Do the things that make for peace. Also, Spyros Zodiotis, he's one of my favorite Greek scholars. Y'all probably know his name well by now. I use him a lot. But he defines this word peacemaker this way: the one who makes peace in others, having first received the peace of God in his own heart. Yeah. Yeah. You see, if you're going to be a peacemaker, you're going to share the peace that you have within. It's not just important enough, or it's not just about you having peace within. A real peacemaker says, I also want others to experience peace. And I want to do the things that would bring about peace in their life. I want to be a peacemaker. You see, when you're a peacemaker, you're determined to resolve the turmoil inside. Maybe it's just something you need to resolve in you, but you're also committed to resolve turmoil on the outside. Yes. It's not just about you. If you can do something, you do it. You see, while because of the peace that we have with God and then the peace of God that we can experience by our faith in Christ, we can actually be at peace within, even in a situation that is tumultuous. Come on. Yeah. However, if there is something that we can do to be a peacemaker in the midst of that turmoil, and we don't do it, then eventually the turmoil that's on the outside will move inside. You got to sow peace. If you want to continue to enjoy peace, you've got to be a peacemaker and be determined to be a peacemaker. Now listen, there's a lot of things that can steal our peace. In fact, I could say in the holiday season, there seems to be more peace thieves than normal. Let me take you to another passage, Romans 14:19 says this. It says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Here he's saying, let us pursue the things which make for peace. We lose our peace over such foolish things. He said, pursue the things. Go after the things that will bring about peace. Now, in this particular situation, Paul was writing to a local church because they were in an argument. They were in strife over food. Some still held on to the biblical principle in the Old Testament from the law that you could not eat food if it had been offered to idols. In that day, it was a common practice before food was sold to take the food and offer it to an idol. And some believers said, I'm sorry, I just can't eat food if it's already been offered to an idol. Other believers who had come into relationship with Jesus Christ felt so free in Christ that they were like, heck, I can eat the food. Yeah. But they were arguing about it. And so Paul said, look, why don't you, who can eat any kind of food you want, just eat the food that hasn't been offered to idols when you're with them? Now, when you're at home, eat anything you want, but you're with them. Pursue the things that make for peace. Listen, maybe it's not about right or wrong at your job. You know what? Maybe it's not even the best way to do things. But could you just do the thing that pursues peace? Come on, be a peacemaker. Come on, if you're married, you know exactly how to stir things up. But we got to calm things down. Yes. The Bible says, let us pursue the things that make for peace. And then he said, the things by which we may edify one another. Peace involves people. Mm-hmm. See, when I'm talking about being a peacemaker, I'm talking about in relationships, in your activities with people. Now, I want to go back to the other one, though, for just a moment, because during the holidays, you know, we talked about the, I mentioned peace thieves, and it's true. Oh, man, you can lose your peace over the simplest little things in the holidays. Traffic, holiday traffic, taking your family to see the lights, and then you complain all the way there because there's so much traffic and can't believe all, what a good time. What a wonderful holiday. Just do the things that make for peace. You're going to sit there 30 minutes in line whether you're arguing or whether you're just having fun. Do the things that make for peace. Man, can we lose our peace over presents and gift buying and family affairs? And we lose our peace over Christmas lights. And you say, well, Pastor Jane, these are simple, practical things. But here's what I want you to understand. If you're going to be a peacemaker, it involves every area of your life. Guard your peace. Because you don't want to lose your peace over some Christmas lights. And then later on, you need peace because a storm hits. But you don't value peace. If you don't value it in the little things, Jesus said, if you're not faithful in the small things, you won't be faithful in the big things. Do you love peace? Yeah. Talk about Christmas lights and that type of thing. You can also lose your peace over Christmas decorations, especially the ones that go in the yard. So we have this snowman, and I bought him. I think this is the third year that we've put him up in our yard. And I bought him because the snowman that we had, I was losing my peace over him because he was so hard to put together. And so we tossed that snowman. I went and bought one, and it's true, this snowman is easy to put together. However, this snowman has another problem. Can you show that picture? Now, that's our front yard. That's my snowman. Do you see those two sticks in front of the snowman? He will not stay up. And finally, I think as Jeff came up with it, said, you're going to have to put stakes in the ground. I mean, this is the third year. And I mean, even with the stakes in the front, he won't stay up unless you do this in the back. More stakes with bricks. Because you know how the grass and the dirt there isn't that firm, so he'll still blow over. I don't mean this in any, you know, vulgar way or something, but sometimes I've just thought that is the snowman from hell. Because every year he tries to steal my peace. before I can get him to stand up. And we come home and there he is on the ground again. In fact, I don't know if you saw it in the first one. Can you go back to that first picture? Well, yeah, you can see there's some dirt on him somewhere. I thought he still had some dirt on him. That's okay. You can go on. But listen, we can lose our peace. We can get angry and stirred up. And then, but see, here's what happens. We lost our peace over the snowman. And then we come in where the people are and they say something and we really lose our peace. Because we have no peace left for them. Listen, save some peace for the people. The snowman's going to go away. I'm going to buy a new one. We can get rid of him. I can't get rid of the people in the house. And I don't want to. Come on. Let me just say this, because peace involves people. A litmus test for a peacemaker is, do you consider how your actions are going to affect others? He said, in pursuing the things for peace, do the things that build and strengthen and edify. Make for peace. And I know sometimes it can be difficult, because in the holidays, you got Aunt so-and-so coming to your house, or uncle or cousin or the blended family. Do the thing that makes for peace. Come on, you know. Don't tell me you don't know. You know. You know not to talk politics with Uncle So-and-so. You know not to mention that with, come on, don't stir things up. Do the things that make for peace. Then Romans 12:17 says this. Romans 12:17 says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Verse 18, do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to take you to a passage in James where really it lays out what peacemakers do, so you'll know what to do to make peace. The Bible's very clear about that. But I wanted to go to this passage first, because here he says, do all you can. And do all you can to live at peace with everyone. But here's the truth. Not everyone wants to live at peace with you. Some people just don't want peace. And you can't make them experience peace. Now, just because they don't want to live at peace with you doesn't mean, though, that that relieves you from your responsibility to do all you can. Now, if they don't respond, I can't be responsible. You can't be responsible for how they respond, but you are responsible to do what you can. Yes. Yes. To live at peace with them. Some people want drama. Some people want to talk. Some people want to fight. But do all you can. Yes. To live at peace with everyone. And here's the question we need to ask ourselves. If we're a peacemaker, what can we do? What can I do at work? That person may never be at peace, but what can I do to make it more peaceable for those around us? What can I do in my marriage? What can I do financially? Now listen, can I tell you something? Some of you just have more peace if you just didn't use the credit card as often. Come on now. If you just didn't buy that other gift at Christmas. If you just were honest and say, we can't do that right now. You can't have that. Little Jimmy, that's not going to bring peace. Because when your spouse sees the person opening up that and they see it's from you, who paid for that? I'm okay in my household as long as I say I had a coupon. Those of you who know my husband, he loves coupons. So I said, I had a coupon. And if it's on sale, he is really happy. It was on sale and I had a coupon. Come on, peace. Do the things that make for peace. Listen, peacemakers just ask themselves, what can I do? What can I do? There's some things I can't do. You can't solve all their issues. But what can you do? That's the heart of a peacemaker. And let's talk about what peacemakers do. If you're going to be a peacemaker, then simply do what peacemakers do. So go with me to the book of James. And let's look in this passage, because this passage really tells us five things that peacemakers do. James chapter 3, verse 17. It says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, James the Apostle begins this passage by describing what wisdom from above looks like in action. Wisdom from above. And not what other people think are wise. No, this is what God thinks. This is wisdom from above. And as he's describing wisdom from above, he begins to talk about being a peacemaker. In fact, we could say this, the wisdom from above has everything to do with being a peacemaker. In other words, the wisest thing you could do this season is to make peace. To do the things that make for peace. Maybe personally, it's you getting up a few minutes earlier before everybody else starts to stir, and you just spend some time with Jesus and in his word, reading a good devotional, reading your daily wisdom that comes from your church. Amen. Reading the passage. Come on. Wisdom. But there are five things here that James brings out that peacemakers do, and I want us to look at them as we begin to close this morning. The first thing he says about peacemakers, number one, they love peace. They love peace. They know the value of peace. You see, my husband quotes this quite often, and the quote is, if you're looking for a fight, it's generally a very short walk.
Come on now.
I mean, sometimes we don't love peace. We love a fight. We just want to fight. We just want to express our anger. We just want to give our opinion. Well, listen, you got to love peace. In fact, you got to love peace more than you love being right.
Yeah,
yeah. What? Come on. Do we love peace more than we love getting our own way? Are we okay if it looks like we lose, but peace wins? Wow. Be a peace lovers. Peacemakers, they love peace. We can tell if we love peace because we will do the things that make for peace.
Yes.
Number two, what do peace lovers do, or what do peacemakers do? They have this attitude. They're willing to yield. Listen, if you're a peacemaker, then be willing to yield. That means don't be so stubborn and hard-headed. We all can be. When we talk about being willing to yield, the word yield simply means to give way to others. I don't know about you, but there's times that I've seen young families, and maybe it's their first child. Usually it happens when it's their first child, and or maybe it's an only child, and sometimes you think, oh, Lord, that family is teaching that child that the world revolves around them. And they're going to wake up when they grow up. They're going to learn real quick. The world does not revolve around you. In other words, they're not willing to yield, to give way to anybody else. They think everybody's going to give way to them because that's what happened all their life. Willing to yield to others. It makes peace sometimes when you just say, let's do it your way. Some of you have never said that. Maybe you need to practice that. Yes, let's do it your way. Husbands and wives, listen, wives, let him go that way. And he doesn't want directions. Don't give them to him. Thank God for Siri. She can talk to him, but you can't. Or who else? Some other, you know, Do you notice that most of those GPS and MapQuest, the directions come from a woman's voice? That's because men won't even talk about directions. I'm teasing y'all. Just goes to show you need that woman giving you directions. And even when we're not talking, there's another one that is. Oh, come on, be willing to yield. Peacemakers yield to the needs of others. You see, because when you think about the word yield and you think about in the traffic situation, it means that you slow down. And sometimes we live life at such a pace that we don't even slow down long enough to see the needs of others. Peacemakers slow down long enough to see that person has a need, not so stuck just on my needs and what's happening with me. Peacemakers yield to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. How much peace have we lost because we simply didn't do what the Spirit of God was prompting us to do, or we didn't obey the Word of God? Listen, slow down, yield, be a peacemaker. Here's the third thing that peacemakers do. Peacemakers are merciful. We could just put it this way, be merciful. And when we're talking about being merciful, we're really talking about overlooking someone's fault. We all have faults. Could you just overlook my fault sometimes? Yes, I did wrong, but listen, it wasn't a big deal. Could you just overlook that rather than pointing out every fault? How much peace does it bring you when somebody is around you all the time telling you every fault you have as if you didn't know it?
Come on now.
We take our trip to the mountains. Many family vacations, we went up to the mountains, and as you're riding up the Blue Ridge Parkway, they have these signs that say scenic overlook, and you can pull off and you can get out there, and it means that and really one of the reasons why it's so scenic is because you're overlooking all those trees and you can see more. Listen, it's scenic. The view is better if you would just overlook that person's fault at work, if you would overlook your spouse's fault, if you would even overlook some of your faults. Be merciful. In talking about being merciful, being a peacemaker, we forgive a wrong done.
Amen.
Let it go. Do it quickly. In fact, we could say this, do for others what God has done for us in Christ. He forgave all our sins. He was merciful. Listen, there may be some family members. There may be some people in your life that you just need to be merciful. Now, I didn't say lay down and let them walk all over you. But you can be merciful to them and still put up a boundary and say, nope, 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 you don't get this close. Because when you get that close, you're in punching range. So you have to stay back there. Because you haven't learned not to punch, but I've learned how to forget. And until you learn not to punch, you have to stay out there because you can't reach me. Come on. Doesn't mean you're a punching bag. But it means you're a peacemaker. You're merciful to them. Now, here's the fourth thing that peacemakers do. The peacemakers do good deeds. You know, just a simple good deed could bring peace in a situation. Just do something good for someone in the store, in this busy season. Let them in front of you, in traffic. Do something good with your family, a good deed for them. At work, do good deeds. Peacemakers bring peace by the good deeds they do. Tonight, as our ladies meet together for this Christmas benevolence event, they're going to be bringing financial gifts, and those financial gifts are going to be going to needy families. We are doing good deeds, bringing peace to people.
Amen.
Determined to do good deeds during this Christmas season. Number five. How many of you know? 1, 2, 3, 4 comes before 5. But here's also, when we are determined to be peacemakers, then we reap a harvest of righteousness. Wow. Peace is the result of seeds we sow. Love peace. Be merciful. Do good deeds. Be willing to yield. And he says, you'll reap a harvest of righteousness. How are you going to reap if you haven't planted? How can you have peace at all times in every situation if you haven't been a peacemaker? This word righteousness, it speaks to what is just, what is right. It also speaks to that which is in conformity with God's will. You know what God wants for every one of us? Peace. Jesus expressed it like this. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it in its fullness until it overflows. Be a peacemaker. Remember what Jesus said about peacemakers? Blessed are the, come on, what? Peacemakers. Supremely well off, fortunate, prosperous are those who are peacemakers. Well, did you get something out of that this morning? I pray that you did. Let's bow our heads as we close out this service today. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity.